All right, good morning. It is 9 a.m., May 11th, 2009, North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're here in the North Dakota PSC hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. This is Commissioner Tony Clark, and with me is my fellow Commissioner Brian Kalk. Commissioner Kramer, unfortunately, is not able to be with us. There was a death in the family, and so he is attending to funeral arrangements today, and we wish the entire Kramer family our best. His father-in-law passed away. There is one item on the agenda. It is in Commissioner Kalk's portfolio.
Very well. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
I move the commission file a notice of intervention, comments, and request for timely action with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, and Viking Gas Transmission Company's request for the expansion of the pipeline lateral delivering natural gas to Northern States Power Company for the Fargo area, FERC docket number CP09-69-000, NDPSC case number PU09189.
Second.
What we have right here is the pursuant to Rule 214 of the FERC Rules of Practice and Procedures, the North Dakota Public Service Commission submits its notice of intervention, comments, and request for timely action in the caption proceeding, which is the notice to intervene, which involves prior request by Viking Gas Transmission expansion of the lateral. We basically would request that the FERC make their decision prior to June 1st so the NSP can get the construction completed in time for this system to be in place for the upcoming winter season.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
That ends the items on the agenda. Are there any questions?
Yes. Would you explain what this is, what a lateral is?
Basically, you've got your big lines and your smaller lines. These are the smaller ones that are going from the main systems into the, I guess, almost like the housing areas and some of the other business areas. So we need the FERC to make their decision earlier so the construction can be built. I'll also ask Commissioner Clark to jump in here a little bit with a little more experience in some of this area.
Well, sure, and all we're doing with the intervention is just putting our place marker out there, so if there does come an appropriate time for comment with the FERC, that we're able to do that. The eastern part of the state is one that the commission has had its eye on for quite a while with regard to gas supplies. Of course, these are regulated by FERC, but one of the concerns that the commission has had over the years is that we continue to have an adequate supply of gas to the Red River Valley. The Red River Valley historically has had a more difficult time getting access to gas in the western part of the state. Western part of the state just geologically and geographically happens to be in a very favorable location. It's on top of a major oil and gas producing field. It's closer to the gas itself. It's more closely tied to the Rocky Mountain Index, which is a little bit cheaper index traditionally, although those markets are converging. There's better storage capability and there's bigger pipes out here, and so the supply has been a little better. As you get towards the eastern part of the state, the supply has historically been a little bit tighter. It means the market is tighter. Oftentimes gas prices are higher in the eastern part of the state. Those customers in the Red River Valley who are on interruptible rates sometimes get cut off more because there are days when the companies need to conserve the gas supply. And so what the commission's interest in is, of course, increasing infrastructure in that area and hopefully getting better supplies of natural gas into the Red River Valley, which is important for economic development and hopefully for prices eventually for consumers.
So what they're planning to do, just looking at it, just perusing it, they're going to replace about 10 miles of an 8-inch line with a 12-inch line?
That's correct.
I believe also, too, this will give some more redundancy in the system out there right now. I think that's probably the critical thing that people need to understand is that there's got to be some redundancy in the system because if there's any problems, NSP doesn't have a lot of options available to them until they get these kind of projects completed.
Right. The Viking line comes down from Canada. It's on the eastern side of the Red River, and so it actually comes in through Minnesota, and that's what serves both Fargo and Grand Forks and Wapton. I mean, it's sort of the whole Red River Valley. What happens to the pipelines coming in from the west, in this case, of course, isn't directly related to the west, but is the Williston Basin system, as it grows, as it goes further and further east, the diameter of pipe gets smaller and smaller, and so there's less throughput capability. I mean, ideally, and the commission has talked about this in the past, it would be nice if we could open up a kind of a second channel to get more gas into the Red River Valley for more economic development, a second market that would be available for the XL to purchase gas from. The pipe goes as from the west goes as far as Mapleton, is that right, Pat?
From the west.
Right, yes. The WBI system.
Is it either Mapleton or
Tower
City?
Yeah, it's close, but of course the problem is that the pipe gets smaller and smaller as it goes further east, and we have from time to time talked to WBI about the potential for added expansion. Of course, it's a business case that they have to be able to make to put a rather significant investment in to upgrade that system to meaningfully put more gas into Fargo and perhaps even Grand Forks.
Not to put too fine a point on it, then, that it's driven by both demand and reliability.
That's correct.
And reliability probably is the area that's most concerning, I think, to the company right now. I'm talking with them right now, is that the investor-owned utilities did a great job this past winter providing gas and electricity through one of the coldest winters we ever had. And so they want to make sure that if we experience stuff like this again, that we have reliability will never be in question.
And there were dates, and XL was close. You know, upfront with us. I mean, they said there were dates when there were concerns about the amount of capacity that was of gas that was able to go into Fargo and Grand Forks. And so they're, I think, being very prudent in their wanting to upgrade the system to ensure that as that rather rapidly growing part of the state does expand, that there's a capability to provide the type of reliable natural gas service that we've come to expect.
Because that's the area that caught my attention. We got briefed on this about the issues. You know, why should we get involved? Well, reliability was the reason that didn't take long to sell me on it, because we got to take care of those folks out there.
I don't know what the filing said, Pat. Do you recall?
I don't think.
They wouldn't have to file out with you folks.
No. No, it's a FERC tariff. But Mark Nisbet is on the phone. Mark, do you have an idea?
Again, the question, Commissioner, was.
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was.
How much this project will cost, Mark?
I don't think he can hear you.
Yeah, he probably can't hear. The mic's not on. Dave's question, Dave Thompson from North Dakota Prairie Public Radio. question was, if you know how much the Viking project is scheduled to cost.
Yeah, it's around $12 million.
And Mark, as long as I've got you on the phone, do you have any comments about this in terms of increased reliability or demand?
Well, absolutely. We believe this is critical. We had last winter, as the commissioners mentioned, we had a very cold winter, and so the offshoot of that, the customers that help us by being on that interruptible rate, they do benefit from a lower cost of gas, but the number of interruptions that they had made their operations more difficult. And once we get past those interruptible customers, we promise firm gas to the rest of our customers. If we go another year without this expansion, we're going to have to, if we aren't able to get this pipeline lateral completed, we're going to have to look at alternate ways of meeting the demand for those, what we call design day, the coldest days of the year with the largest amount of use. So for us, we certainly appreciate the commission taking action with a letter of this type.
The interruptibles that XL has on its system or any utility tend to be commercial and industrial type users that have an ability to shut down. But even those that have that ability, if you're constantly being interrupted, it's very tough to operate your business. And so what eventually happens is, if you can't operate your business, then they decide, well, we're not going on the interruptible rate anymore. We're going to switch over to the firm rate, which is more expensive, but we know we have service. But that just exacerbates the problem for everyone else, residential and other users who have to have the service.
Yep, that was well said, Commissioner. The use of interruptible helps us to to grow and expand capital dollars in an orderly fashion. Many days of the year, you don't come anywhere close to the full system capacity, but on those few days when you do, those interruptible customers are an important part that helps us hold down the cost for all the customers. And I should say, Commissioner, too, just in case Dave was, Grand Forks last winter was in good shape. This is a specific issue for the Fargo area. Grand Forks benefited by, the state, the system is in there. They ran more consistent with what we would expect from our whole system. So,
thanks. Good clarification. Yep. Anything else? Okay, if not, thanks everybody. We will close the meeting.